Hey, everybody. Today, our sponsor is HBO Now. Wait, what's HBO Now? Is that app that I need to have my parents like login information? No, guess what? You don't need it anymore because HBO Now gives you access to all of HBO's series, movies, documentaries, sports specials, and more with no TV package required. Hear that again. No TV package required. Download the app on your favorite device to start your 30-day free trial right now. Start binging, people. Get into it. Do it. Watch all the shows you've been meaning to watch. Treme, binge that shit. Also, if you're going to binge, why don't check out our other sponsor, which is Roku. That's right. Roku players give you the biggest selection of streaming channels like the aforementioned HBO Now, plus innovative features like voice search, unbiased search results, and private listening via the Roku remote or a mobile app. With HBO Now on the Roku device, you get all of HBO, including every season, every episode of HBO's addictive original series, past and present, plus the biggest and latest movies before any other streaming service. No TV package is required, and it is available on Roku players. Visit Roku, roku.com/remix to learn more about Roku players and your 1 month free HBO trial. That's roku.com/remix. The first rule of kumite: do not talk about kumite. Unless, of course, you want to talk about kumite, because then it's totally fine. It just really depends on the person. Doesn't seem to be any real rules there at all. We saw Bloodsport, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive? They call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you: how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth.
That's a good look.
And hello, people of Los Angeles. We are here live at Largo, our LA home.
Kumite, kumite.
A podcasting show. Please welcome my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks?
Should I go here?
You can go wherever you want.
Oh, boy,
we are sadly
weird,
missing June tonight due to a family emergency. She was called away at the last second, but we have an amazing guest. You know her from Girl Code and also the brand new Fox show Party Over Here. Please welcome Nicole Byer.
Kumite, 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 kumite.
By the way,
this podcast ends in a death.
I feel like everyone all the time should be brought in with kumite.
Yeah, felt very good. I was like, should I high kick? But I didn't.
I thought about it and was genuinely like, oh no, I'll hurt myself.
By the way, the one thing I will say, this is the third time we have visited a Jean-Claude Van Damme film. And I will say...
And if we did three more, happy.
All in.
I'll go on record as saying, this movie is fucking awesome.
I 100% agree.
I loved it. Also, he was so fuckable. He was so sexy, and every time his eyes just were dead, I was like, yes. I love this.
He is, like, I would argue, and this is the thing, like, we have seen him at different points in his career on this show, but this is the most pristine, angelic.
He is,
yes.
Like, if I may, absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
I looked at his, like, because of course you see his ass, right? That's a staple of a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Buns. There's some juicy buns in this movie before he wraps them up in some tidy maroonies.
underpants to then put them back on.
I mean, guess what? When you're putting briefs on, you don't have to double dip because once they're on, they're on. Like, you didn't do it wrong. Like, oops, nope, no,
he
now it's okay.
It's almost like a treat.
It's like the front latches first and then he had to come back for the back. The backlatch. If you go to moviebitches.com, you will see a collection of Jean-Claude Van Damme's buns, which this audience will see in just a little bit.
Guys, these are grade A buns.
Just before we start talking about this, because this movie, while awesome, there are some questions that need to be answered. Some things that are a little
out of the norm. I can't think of one. It all adds up.
A couple things you should know, which I never knew. This is truly based on a real man.
When that happened at the end of the movie, and the thing came up and said it was based on a real life story, I came. I was like, what? Like, if you had put the same title card up at the end of Lake Placid, I would have believed it more.
This man, his name is obviously
Frank Dukes.
Frank Dukes.
Yeah. Who?
Dukes or Dukes?
Dukes.
And funny thing about him is that a couple things. One, people think he's full of shit, and then that this never happened, and it's all a lie.
Ooh, I love that.
And then he disagrees with them. And. And as a matter of fact, if you've been following around the show, we have Blake Harris. He is an oral historian of the film. He got Frank Dukes to talk, and he got him for an epic three.
Hey, everybody relax. There was like a low rumble. There was like one for real guy that was like, oh. He got him. I would love it if there was just a straight up monster in the crowd. Just like a universal monster from the old days.
Just
podcast make me mad.
He had an epic 3-hour interview with him, and he'll finally set the story straight.
3 hours.
So 3 hours.
Oh, poor Blake Harris.
One of the things that he did tell him, and this is part of it, he goes, you know, that Jean-Claude and him kind of got into it one time, and he said, hey, look, if you want to fight me, meet me on the roof. And so Jean-Claude and Frank Dukes went up to like a roof like 60 feet above the city, I guess. And
is it where at the end of the movie Jean-Claude is like stretching on the altar?
I believe it must be that place. And he said that basically like Jean-Claude like wimped out and brought like 3 of his friends. And then he like did this amazing full rotation kick and then stared him down. And then he said, I could see Jean-Claude's heart beating in his chest. And he's like, all right, you're a good man. I'm into you. And then Jean-Claude left.
And then they fucked? Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah.
This is the man that could have beat Jean-Claude Van Damme in real life. He actually also trained Jean-Claude Van Damme for this movie. And Jean-Claude Van Damme said it was the hardest training he's ever done. Because Frank was like, you're not ready to be in a fictionalized version of my life.
That's diabolic. Like, you're not ready to be me. I love that.
That obviously, you can go off and research. But let's talk about the movie.
Ooh,
the movie itself.
Ooh, I truly loved it.
Yeah.
All of the splits. There were so many splits.
He does the splits 7 times.
Oh, you counted?
I did.
I would have happily taken 7 more. It would never have gotten old.
If him you can do them,
going
you
straight to the ground.
Just do them.
Can anyone do them in the audience? Anyone think they can do it?
Can anybody just get straight to it? Back row, bring it up right here. Let's go.
All right. Come up here.
I know.
Come up here.
I see you pointing.
Yeah, please.
Come up here. I will. You're allowed to come on stage.
Oh, wait. No, no, I'm sorry. He goes, not in these pants. Oh.
Take them off.
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 Take them off. Take them off. Take them off.
Too much tape. Too much tape. His pants are off. His pants are off. His pants are on.
All right. Here we go.
He says, hold, hold his cell phone. Okay. His shoes are coming off. He's wearing a kumite.
Kumite!
Kumite!
Kumite! Kumite! Kumite! Kumite! Kumite! Kumite! Kumite!
That was amazing.
This guy gets it.
And
that was perfect.
And for that, I'm gonna give you a bumper sticker that says, "More Joan Allen ass." I want to see it. Wow. Show is off to an epic start.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I got out of bed.
If you are listening to the podcast, go fuck yourself. I hate the live shows. I don't get the jokes.
Forget it.
Shit just happened. Shit got real. They don't want you to like the live show.
That was amazing.
That was
and
incredible.
By the way, I've never seen that. I've never seen anyone do that.
In person seen a human man do that.
Yeah.
A lot of ladies do it. Wow. Didn't that hurt your dick?
Ooh.
How's your dick?
Can we get a dick update? Taint injury.
Yeah.
It's more tainty than it is dicky, I feel like. Because the dick is kind of like hanging out in front.
Oh, I guess.
Just like kind of watching
it. It'd be nuts.
Yeah.
I feel like your nuts would hit the floor.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you got to go down. So you have to go down so slow. Or Jean-Claude does it on chairs, so the nuts don't hit anywhere.
It's just a nice breeze.
Yeah, or chairs or tied up in ropes.
Yeah.
You know, weird.
That was so hot. I loved it. Him tied up in ropes with this Asian man being like, yes. Oh, I loved it.
Very 50 Shades of Grey.
That was the original 50, yeah.
But much sexier.
I wanted to just, the one thing that jumped out at me right away was, it just said screenplay or story by Sheldon Lettich. And that name just felt like not the guy to bring the kumite story to the screen. Like, oh, I got this movie and it's about this karate guy and he's really crazy.
I love that you're...
Like, I don't know why, like, it's just all like, ooh, I got it.
Oh, you know what we need? We need a scene where the guy can, like, take him and punch him and, like, probably kill the guy. Sheldon, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, he just gotta get in there and he gets hit some real hard in the balls.
There's a lot of nut punches.
Uh-huh.
Many more so than I would have thought from people. Why do they get... I guess it's like full... They keep reminding you, guess what? This is full contact.
Yeah.
No doy on that, but...
It doesn't look more intense than a UFC fight, though, at this point.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, that drop split into the nut punch, that was great.
I would love to see that happen real.
Like, you'd be like, uh-oh.
Ooh, how about this? Does anybody here have the fetish where they like to be punched in the nuts? Because we can get that guy and make it happen at the end of the show.
You stand at top, he'll go down below, poof.
Think about it, fetish weirdos.
By the way, that gentleman, we don't know his name, but he got down pretty quickly into the split. Jean-Claude does it very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very fast.
And that is I mean, look, yeah, I would do it a million times a day if you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the guy's never fucking wearing pants either, because the one skill that he has is you have to kind of be pantsless.
Yeah, like, also, if I had those buns, I'd be pantsless all the time.
They're as soft as a baby. I looked at him, and I looked at his buns, and I was like...
And you have a baby.
I have a... That's why I was like, it looks like when I see my baby naked. That's how kind of newborn buns they are.
Just some of those dewy buns. Fresh from a lady baby buns. Can't get enough of them.
And also, the thing that I feel like worthy of talking about is, and I know this is an era of film where, you know, Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude, they make no attempt to explain that they're not American. They are just like the most American. Yeah. More American than anyone that you could picture, than any country Western star. And they're like, no justification of the accent, never.
Yes, no, there is.
What does he say?
There is.
Wait, is there?
It's in the flashback.
Okay.
Where he's that little boy who can barely speak.
Yes, the flashback, which lasts the first act, that he has in like in flashbacks where he's like, looks scared, and it's like, whoa, 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 and it like goes back into his head. Anyway, it is when he's a kid and his parents are meeting with the other parents, and he's like,
martial law.
You came to America to have a better life your son, or to do wine. Right? To work with grapes or whatever.
Right. Yes.
I came to America for this, that, and the other reason. Like, these are our, what we're growing is roots. We're growing sons, blah, blah, blah.
I think I do have it here because I pulled it because of the term martial science.
Yes. And I hope you also pulled it for this kid's acting.
You know what?
They auditioned everybody to play young Jean-Claude Van Damme. And this is where they came up with. And we're like, yep, we got it.
You know what? Let's just get into the younger Van Damme's voice. Because younger Van Damme's voice, it's better than any martial law. Here, this is young Van Damme. In the first act, which is kind of like a Karate Kid in 5 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
Karate Kid with no wisdom.
You cannot get katana sword by stealing. It is a very special sword. Must earn it.
I wasn't going to steal it.
He cuts the brim off his hat.
You didn't flinch. You have fighting spirit.
Or he's
You're not gonna call the cop?
Not if we make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
That's Jean-Claude Van Damme. What we're meant to understand is that grows into the most beautiful man in the world.
This kid who looks like he was maybe rejected for being a little too old to play Elliot in the E.T. movie grows up
to
be...
Slash this kid who was like delivering sandwiches to the set and they were like, ah, that kid, let's get him in.
He can't act, don't worry. We'll just replace his voice all in post.
It is wild, these
because
flashbacks.
Because is that his... I mean, I know I'm obsessed with this stuff, but is that his voice? I can't tell if this whole movie was done like an old...
Of it is ADR.
Yeah, right? No one's speaking... Everything they used was inaudible, I feel like. Like, what? We need microphones for it? Shit. All right. We'll do it later.
Oh, God. This is the first time hearing of a sound department.
Obviously, Jean-Claude, he learns with this master who is, I don't even really understand what's going on here because like he's kind of there to protect his son.
So he's training his son and he brings Jean-Claude Van Damme to fight his son.
To
so
be like a punching
like
bag,
a human punching bag.
Essentially, so he can like stand back and be like, oh, yeah. And then the kid gets beat up and then Jean-Claude Van Damme helps him, and then he's like, okay, I guess we could be equals.
And then the kid dies?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we don't know why.
Yes.
We're never told why.
We just cut straight to like a picture of the dead son. And
The sword.
Yep.
But then later you see the sword with no picture. Yep. So it's like, do they go like, oh, yeah, now we're done.
Now we're over.
Put it away. We're done with this.
Yeah,
this picture of our dead son's really bumming me out every time I want to look at my sword, all I see is my dead son. Let's hide that picture. I want to love this sword more. But then young Jean-Claude Van Damme, pleads with the Mr. Miyagi kind of character to train him as if he was his son, which he does.
He does.
And it is straight up torture.
Yes.
Like, like Mr. Miyagi, like, he's teaching lessons and doing things. Like, this guy is just kicking the ever-living shit out of him.
It's just like it's a montage in which each one is like, now he is just beaten with a stick.
They literally put him, like we were describing, like a Stretch Armstrong. Like, they grab him from every part of his body and just pull him in different directions.
And then he, like, makes it tighter and then looser and then tighter and then ties it up. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, I will rise above. And then breaks it.
But I don't even understand, what is that teaching him? Like, what muscle is that working? Like, if you ever get, like, drawn and quartered, you could come back?
I guess if four guys are pulling you apart, spread eagle, you'll escape it.
Now let's get into that. I felt like tons of the training was just like how to take a beating.
Yeah.
It was like preparing him for some of the just utter punishment that he would take at the hands of stronger
but
people.
But you guys, it came in handy in the end when he got salted. Yep. He knew how to like do shit without his eyeballs.
Absolutely.
The blind, yeah, that was like very much like the wax on, wax off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he had his, what if I'm blind? And he learned the art of being blind by serving tea. Beautifully, beautifully executed.
Do a blindfolded tea party.
By the way, I think I could do that tea pretty flawlessly without with zero training. Yeah.
Especially if it was probably at a house I was familiar with.
Yeah.
At a table I'd sat at before. I bet I could do blindfolded tea.
The thing, you know, thinking about that house was, it seemed like it was in a residential neighborhood.
Yep, sure did.
So I just want to see, like, the neighbors, like the Wilson from Home Improvement of, like, what the fuck is going on? Wait a second.
What are you building over there? What are you building? What is that, some sort of sexual torture device? What are you doing? You're going to put that kid from town in it that's not your son? Who's at your house every day? You're going to put him in this weird thing? Yeah, cool. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, Mr. Tanaka's just beating the shit out of that weird French kid again. How you doing, Mr. Tanaka?
I don't know. I think Tanaka might be blaming the French kid for his son's death. All I do is see him beating the shit out of the kid every day. They're involved in something mixed up. I would love to be that. I'd love to make a movie that is just that neighbor's just story. Like
just
a movie
watch
that is this movie adjacent.
Just the beginning of it, just seeing what's going on, the private investigators coming to the house. And then we get...
Oh, I have a question, though, because while we're still at the relative beginning, is he in the army?
Yeah.
I believe
that he is... this is what I'm putting it together from a little bit of that I know of Frank Dukes, and this. He is an elite CIA operative that they are training to be a killing machine.
What? No, that was never explained.
It was never explained. Frank,
now, is this at all related to the character that he plays in Street Fighter?
It would seem so.
I feel like both would wear a beret.
According to Wikipedia, yes.
Nice.
That character is based, or Street Fighter is based on that character.
Really?
That's what Wikipedia said.
Amazing.
I mean, you would argue that every character, you know, they say like Quentin Tarantino, all the characters are related in one big universe. I would argue that every character Jean-Claude Van Damme plays is related to the Jean-Claude
or
Van Damme.
Or it's just the same person and he's not even doing a character.
He just has a thing that he goes, yeah, there's no character. No. Frank Dukes. But yeah, he seemed to be like left alone on the army base, by himself on the army base. They were very, I mean, they wouldn't be going after one guy who's AWOL. Like, I feel like they would, like...
They chase him across the world.
Uh-huh. And seemingly don't ever have stop him.
No. Like
they know the hotel he's staying in. They know where Kumite is. Mm-hmm. Like, they could easily stop him numerous times.
No, they sit down and watch the fight. Like,
they cheer.
They cheer.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't do anything to stop it.
Which also
like,
brings
me
to the whole idea, and we'll get to this eventually too, but of Kumite, I thought it was super secret. These fucking FBI agents like walk in like, oh, do we have a seat in the front row?
Oh, also, everybody, the journalist woman can't get anybody to tell her where Kumite is.
No.
Like, everybody's like, Kumite? Haha, nice try. But there are conservatively like 500 spectators at Kumite.
And I thought...
It's a large venue. And there are just very ordinary people there. Everybody's just like, oh yeah, you're going to Kumite tonight? Definitely. See you there.
But
Kumite.
You saw where Kumite was. They had to walk through like the streets of Agrabah to get to. Like weird tarps hanging.
No, I agree. It looked like the sets from Gymkhana.
Kumite also believed in the way it was like positioned was like, this is a fight for fighters to watch fighters. But then you get there and people are fucking betting. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a big party going on. It wasn't like an elite group of people. It looked like scumbags that you would see.
Yeah, the most basic of basic people are just like, hello!
Yeah, it didn't even seem like you need to... Well, only one guy shows up in a suit. Like, that one guy's like, I'm a fancy man. But, like, you would think everyone would be fancy men. No. Mm-hmm.
You would think everyone would be fancy men?
Well,
we don't just run right past.
No,
you think Kumite is like everybody puts on their fineries and goes to Kumite?
I think that the way that it was positioned, like, this is an elite thing. The best of the best. Like, people put on nice suits to go watch a boxing match, which is on pay-per-view in public.
People go dress up to go to the Magic Castle. So, like...
It is required, though.
Okay. I wish there was more blood sport at Magic Castle. I would like to be at Magic Castle and have the whole crowd just start going, Kumate, Kumate, and have two magicians be like, we have to fight each other now.
Just we throwing cards each at each other's necks.
With close-up magic.
I would say not since the Fred Savage Nintendo movie The Wizard have I watched two men play video games for about
for
a minute.
Full scene. A full scene. I was like, I paused and I was like, really? What did I just fucking watch?
And a shitty video game. It's not like one of those times where like they get into the movie, it's like, oh, this is a video game that doesn't exist. It's like, no, this exists.
It's just kind of shitty. Yeah. And it is mind-blowingly boring to watch two and they're grown men.
Yeah. And their conversation is boring. It's like, you're good at this. And he's like, yep. Like, and that's it.
Did the sensei teach them the art of video game? Because it was like, he was like, oh, I am good. Like, how would you be, how would you, your training equate to button pushing? Like, it's like, oh, and you'll also be very good at Miss Pac-Man.
And it's also, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it is a, what game is it, nerds?
Karate?
Super karate.
Real specific.
There was nothing super about the karate that was happening in the game. But I was like, oh, of course it has to be a game in which they're fighting. Wouldn't it have been so much better if it was like Centipede?
Yeah.
And they're like, with the roller track. That would have made me much happier. Or like Joust. Where you ride an ostrich around and knock soldiers off large eagles and make them lay eggs, which you collect. Also known as the game Joust. My favorite
video game. Is that a real game?
Oh, yeah. It is a real game.
Oh, yes.
I've never in my life heard of that.
Joust and Dig Dug.
Dig Dug. Dig Dug. Oh, you have to blow up these goats. It's like reverse Pac-Man.
It's really it's like you have to build tunnels underground. Oh, God, so man. Good.
You're basically making the Pac-Man
you
maze.
You have missed everything.
I'm so sorry. I'll go home and download it.
Yeah. Wait, can you? I don't know.
You can binge watch all of Dig Dug.
If I can download Joust, game over life.
Oh, by the way, you could download Joust.
You think?
I think it would be almost comically easy. I think you could. I think you could download Joust on a flip phone.
Really? Fuck. I'm gonna get a flip phone and download Joust. My night just got rad.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to bum you out, but we have to take a quick commercial break. Have you heard about CISO? What? You haven't? CISO is this amazing premium comedy streaming service. Wait, what are you talking about? Basically, think of all those other streaming services, but this one only does comedy. On demand, 24/7, streaming comedy anytime, anywhere, and it is curated for the comedy connoisseur. Original series, quotable classics, next day late night, stand-up specials, and more. Only $3.99 a month, and that's no joke! $3.99 a month, that's cheap, no ads, countless hours of premium HD comedy, plus never before seen new originals, new comedy added every single week. Try it now for free, start as a guest with no credit card required, plus you get to see cool shit. Like, they have the entire Monty Python library, classic SNL from the 80s, The Office, all of it, season one of the Cyanide and Happiness Show. Have you not seen that? You should watch it. Plus Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. That is one of my favorite shows. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is brilliant, genius, so good. Mighty Boosh is on there. Oh my gosh. Alan Partridge. They got everything that you want. I honestly think you will not be upset. Plus these amazing specials from brilliant, talented people like Cameron Esposito. Plus, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff going on here. The UCB, they do their own show. What do I have to tell you? All I'm telling you is this. It's only $3.99 a month, okay? And you can binge on comedy till your heart is content. We know you're downloading these podcasts. Start visually binging now, okay? Here we go, everybody. Go to CISO.com and start watching all the comedy you can stream for free. That's CISO.com and stream for free today. No credit card required. Here's the deal, people. We all know that cooking sucks. Why? You got to get the right book. Is this the right book? Is it the Guy Fieri book? Does they actually have good recipes? Oh, no, this book, that's like a $50 cookbook. Okay, well, I'm going to download it online. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Everything gets complicated. First of all, the recipes. Then you got to go to the store. And then they have a thing in that recipe that you're like, how do I get, I don't know, lemon aioli? Or how do I get, snow peas? You don't know. Then you get half of the recipe and then you kind of try to figure it all out. But here's the thing. What if I told you I am a genie? That's right, a literal genie that can come and make your cooking wishes come true. Well, guess what? I am a genie and I'm going to do that with Blue Apron. Here's the deal, okay? Blue Apron, for less than $10 a meal, will deliver all the fresh ingredients you need to create home-cooked meal. That's right, home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. No overwhelming trips to the grocery store. No more sad takeout. Plus, if you eat meat, they got options. If you are vegan, they got options. If you're vegetarian, they got options. If you just like chicken, they got options. Plus, you can make amazing things with watermelon radishes, farro, and purple potatoes. Here, listen to what they have here. An Asian salmon burger with snow pea slaw and sesame sweet potatoes. It sounds amazing. Or how about creamy lemon ricotta with spring vegetable pasta primavera with asparagus and spinach? That's what I'm talking about. This is not like simple bullshit. This is complex, delicious recipes that are only between 700 and 500 calories, right? So between 500 and 700 calories per portion. They're delicious. They're good for you. Get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/bonkers. That's right. blueapron.com/bonkers. Now, did you hear me right? Two meals for free. Just go to blueapron.com/bonkers and try it out. People take pictures of it and go, shit, thank you. How did this get made? This is actually really delicious. And you know what? They're not being paid to tell me that. And I am being paid to tell you this, but I know that it's actually really good too. And now back to the show.
But the video game introduces to me my favorite character in the whole fucking movie.
Oh boy. What was his name?
Jackson?
Ray Jackson.
I killed him! I killed him! Yeah!
That was so sad. I was like, get back in there!
What are you doing?
No recognizable martial art.
Nope.
That I could tell.
Or fighting. No. Also, no fighting skills.
He's like the Kimbo Slice of this tournament. How did he get in?
Yep.
Meanwhile, Jean-Claude gets there and they're like, how do we know that you're part of this house? Break these bricks. It's like, him, like, yep, you're in, dude. Wearing your Harley Davidson shirt, get in there. Stop fucking waiting by the door. Go.
Exactly. You seem to have to be like somebody important to get into the Kumite, unless you're Ray Jackson.
I think.
He can just, you know what it is, right that, in.
The judges were big fans of Revenge of the Nerds. So they were like, go, get in there. Yeah, he gets in there, and I mean, he's just a mess. He's a mess of a mess.
He also has like a jerry curl. Like, he just didn't look good.
I thought they were originally going to be enemies. Because you first see him being like really rude to a woman on the bus that they're on, and JCVD is like, clocks it like, I don't like that guy, he's a creep, you know? And then they play video games and he's like, I like this guy. He lets me beat him and is still cool about it. And then they're bros. Then they are literally best friends. And Ray Jackson sits in the stands and is like, yeah! That's my guy! That's my friend! He broke a world record!
90% of this movie's dialogue is exposition. Just telling you as the audience what
there
you just saw.
There is an entire character.
You beat him! You hit him with your fist! He's wearing a red jacket, you're wearing a black one!
There's a character whose only job is to jump in from the side of the screen to explain what's happening now.
Literally, Ray Jackson has my favorite line of the movie. He goes, oh, that's why they call it Bloodsport.
Yes!
Yep. Because someone got a little bit of blood.
And that's why there wasn't very much blood.
Yeah, I was like, that's boxing. That really isn't worse than boxing. Ray Jackson,
he is really fantastic. And I love it. Like, the villain of the movie is just the guy that always wins named Chung Lee. He is like the baddest of badasses, and he's like represented accordingly. Like, every fight he gets in, he toys with people, blah blah blah. And my favorite is Ray Jackson's first match. He knocks his guy out, walks out, and goes up to Chung Lee. He's like, I'm gonna kill you! I'm gonna kill you!
I wanna
and I was like, This guy's coming in hot.
I do.
Chung Li is a legit badass, and this dude is not.
I do want to talk about Chung Li for a second, because Chung Li to me, and no offense to anybody, I hope I'm using the proper terms.
Oh,
feels
God.
To
oh,
me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy, we'd like to put a warning in right now.
That he is hearing impaired. I think he might be a deaf man.
You
because
think he might be?
Because
sure.
Every time he's like winning, he's like.
Yeah,
he never,
you're right.
He never says anything.
Any sounds.
He, yeah. And I, like, he articulates to me like a very excited deaf person.
Yes.
And I was like, I wondered, I was like, oh, is that part of his story?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
That
humanizes him so much more.
Like someone just hit him too hard in the ears. But every time he celebrates, no sound comes out of his mouth.
But I feel like that was like a choice in the movie. It was a lot of like big eyes and no sounds and like head shaking.
But everyone else is making a lot of fucking noise.
You're right, and he's
not. I will say this, all of his dialogue is dubbed, mm-hmm. So maybe they just didn't dub celebrating noises. So it might just be that on that track, they don't have his dialogue. They didn't mic him at all.
No.
So they don't have it. So they while they were getting somebody to be like, I'm gonna break you next, they weren't like, oh, can you also give me a couple of yes or woos or a couple of like big celebration sounds? Can you do that? The voice guy was like, no. Won't do it.
He, by the way, just so in case you're wondering where they find this guy, he was Mr. Asia. And that's how they got him. And there is no stunt people used in this movie. So everyone is really fighting.
Yeah.
That was like a big thing about this movie. Like, zero stunt people. Everyone had to do their own stuff. So that's what you see is what you get. And I think that's why that one guy who seemingly is the only actor, Ray Jackson, the Revenge of the Nerds guy, has no discernible fighting technique. While Jean-Claude is out for 3 months working with Frank Dukes, he's just drinking beers and just going like, yeah! It seemed like his big movement was just to push people off the white stage. Mm-hmm. Like, that was basically it. Like, because that was winning, too.
Yeah, if
just
you push them out of the ring or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
The black fighters were so strange. One leapt around like a monkey, and I was like, was that a choice? Or did he say, I got a full character for you? Like,
everybody, I thought, because it's like all the fighters represent different fighting styles mm-hmm. and are oftentimes from different countries. And yeah, the most fascinating was there, and they're, for the most part, they're all kind of big, muscly people. Mm-hmm. And there is a tiny black man who jumps around like some sort of wild animal.
Like a little monkey.
I mean,
monkey.
It's crazy.
And it is one of the
most first time you see
fascinating
him,
things to watch.
He jumps into a tree
and
like on all fours
and, punches,
and knocks out coconuts.
Yep. Like, punches coconuts.
They're the guy that was my favorite. And it's hard to, I can describe for the audience better, but he kind of had his hands
his
out like.
Up here.
Like, he looked like he's like sleeping. Like, he's like almost like a sleeping. Yeah. Like
I believe you're describing Paco.
Yeah, Paco. But Paco is actually a Muay Thai kickboxer. He's one of the most.
I will say, I'm not surprised to hear that all the stunts, there were no stuntmen, because I felt like all those fighters looked legitimately like they were doing all the fighting, and it looked cool. Like, all the fight stuff I was super into and was terrific.
Yeah,
I would have liked much more.
Yeah, what did you think of the fighting? You like
I loved the fighting, but the thing I loved the most was when that guy got his gold tooth knocked out, and that little man was just like.
The most conspicuous janitor of all time. Like, you know in cartoons they show you thought bubbles? This guy articulated that without ever seeing a thought bubble. I saw everything that went in his head in real time.
Oh, I want to know where he went. Like, where's his, story? I want to know.
He stole the gold tooth, then checked it. He'd be like, I'm not just going to take a fucking... Yeah, it's gold. All right, now I'll pocket it. Do that shit at home. Steal it real quick and then do it.
He, but to his credit, like, kind of steals the movie. Like a real, like he's like, oh, all I get to do in this movie is like steal a gold tooth. Oh, I'm going to make a meal out of this. This is going to be the longest little drama you've ever seen.
Do we even want to touch on the fact that Forrest Whitaker is in this movie?
Oh. Oh, Forrest. He's so dumb in it.
Yeah.
Like, so dumb.
Like, so stupid. And he's, like, on the boats trying to chase him, and he just can't balance. And his face just looks dumber.
But the thing is, he's supposed to be, like, the smarter of the two detectives because he's constantly being steamrolled by the older guy who's his partner, mm-hmm. who's like a real piece of shit. it's such a fraudulent storyline to have these like FBI agents or whatever they are, army guys or whoever, chasing him down when we don't entirely know why they want him
back
so bad.
They don't say anything. Like, the only thing that we know is, where's Dukes? Sir, he escaped. God damn it! Like, get him back. That's the all of a movie full of exposition. That's all the yeah. and all we know from him.
And then when they finally do find him, and he leads them on a chase yeah. through, I believe, all of China. And Forrest Whitaker and an old man keep up the entire time.
They're yeah. never far behind. But it's also because JCVD is kind of clowning yep. the entire time. He's really having fun with him.
Oh. I would love it if somebody would just put Yakety Sax over that.
Oh my God, so please do that.
If one of you nerds could just take the chase scene and just put Yakety Sax over the whole thing.
Avril will do that.
That would be pretty
terrific. That would be amazing. Here's the thing about the two of them. They also hate Asian culture because when they're eating like that Chinese food, they're like, mm-hmm.
Forrest Whitaker loves it.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker is so into it. Doesn't, and then the other Asian man comes and goes, I wouldn't eat that, and then they throw it to the dog, and the dog is like,
I thought the Asian man was saying like, I wouldn't eat here, and then Forrest Whitaker was like, but like, I couldn't make heads or tails of that scene.
It was tough.
They were like, yeah, I couldn't tell if they were like, because like they're trying to be like these idiots, but yet they always seem to get to where they need to go. They're not like
I couldn't understand why the police chief was protecting Kumite, and then eventually is like, oh no, we got to take down Kumite.
Just shut down Kumite. Like, it seems like that would be the easiest thing to do.
You can't shut down Kumite, bro. Is Kumite real?
No.
Well, am I to believe if Frank
according
Dukes
to
is real?
Frank Dukes, it is 100% real.
But he broke the rule by talking about it?
Well, he was actually a CIA operative that was told to enter into the Kumite.
He was ordered to?
Yes. Oh. My involvement in the tournament was part of a plan launched in 1975 to infiltrate the criminal organizations that organize the Kumite. The original idea was to participate and make a few contacts. We initially assumed I would lose, but eventually I became one of the best Kumite fighters ever to participate in the event.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
So that is that.
So then the whole beginning is fabricated of him escaping because yes. they sent him in.
Yeah, they didn't want to like get into, they didn't want to like, obviously it's kind of that thing about like, you know, when they don't want to expose the government. This is like back in the time where films weren't trying to like sell out the government. They were protecting it because mm-hmm. obviously Kumite is where most of the criminal stuff was going down in the 80s. Mm-hmm. The biggest crime bosses were going to watch organized fighting in Hong Kong. No, they weren't. That's all a lie. Can we talk about the romance?
I was just going to say.
I feel like the romance was a real afterthought. Like, he was like, let me go fuck up some dudes. And I'm gonna fuck this bad bitch. She was hot, though. She was, like, gorgeous.
She was foxy 80s yeah. lady.
I loved her.
They basically only met twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
and then she was like, you can't fight in the Kumite. I love you. Like, yep. they were like, in.
Well, it's because they fuck. And she caught that dick game. And she was like, yes! I'm never letting that go. You can't go to Kumite!
He will split into my vagina.
They had
with that baby soft dick.
Oh God.
Paul, don't be so dirty.
I want to show
They have what amounts to a one night stand and then have the most tender morning I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, is like fingers entwined, like drinking each other in, like, and he basically is like, I gotta go to Kumite, babe.
And then she's like, okay. And then He arrives at Kumite and seconds later, she is dolled up in a fucking dress with another dude. She's like, hey, I'm undercover. Wait, how the fuck did that happen?
Because I'm telling you, if that dick game is good, you will do anything to get it back.
Like, how many people is she blasting to try and get into Kumite? Is what I want to know. Like, I have concerns. That is questionable journalism. April, but she's gorgeous. I love her.
April, who puts together all of our clips, pointed out something here that I thought was interesting. She's like, if you watch this scene and you listen to it, if you're at home right now or at work, wherever.
Or on the subway. Or in a
walking,
car. Whether you're on headphones.
Cleaning the house.
Laundry. A lot of people doing laundry, listening to the podcast.
It seems as if this scene was shot when neither was in the same room, so the intensity of the conversation does not really match up. And if you view it like that, it's amazing. They're not, like, just think of them and not being there and not reading anything off of anyone. Like, here you go. It's self-explanatory. Here we go.
All those different fighters in one event. It sounds wild.
You have to see it to believe it.
Oh, come on, Frank. Couldn't you just get me in? I really want this story. It would mean so much to me.
They have strict rules. No press.
I bet we could think of something.
I doubt it.
You're telling me you never break rules?
What do you want from me?
I'd really like you to help me get into the Kumite. But more than that, I'd really like to get to know you.
Immediately they have fucked. It's morning. He's like, I'm late for Kumite. And then we get this beautiful buns. Beautiful buns.
Ready. Buns. 3, 2, 1 and buns. Damn it. Buns.
Watching those buns.
Yeah, he's giving her a little treat.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, my
The live
God.
Audience is getting so many visuals that you dildos at home can't see. The live episodes are so annoying.
We talked about it a little bit, but when Ray Jackson does knock out Chung Lee, he parades around a little like just wait until you win. Like, his epic, like, I guess they were like, we don't want to show him being a bad fighter. It was like, it's like the best, like, macho reasoning. It's like, well, look, he's not a bad fighter. Okay, yeah, but we got to make him lose. Right, okay, well, what if he wins? But then he's, like, too excited that he wins, and then he gets sneak attack. Like, they had to, like, find this middle ground. It's like when Vin Diesel and The Rock fight. It's like, they can't, neither can win, neither can lose. They just have to hit each other and then fall back to pace. Like, all right, next time. You know, it's like, they're like.
Well, they also can't have Chung Lee appear to be able to be beaten by Ray Jackson. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for him to go against JCVD.
But yeah, he does, though. Like,
he does knock him down. What's
but
confusing?
If Ray Jackson just was like, pop, 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 he would have beaten him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he kept hitting him, he would have beaten him.
That's Paul's training coming through right there.
Pop, 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 pop. But it just seemed like, Ray Jackson's thing was just to hit people in the head until they were unconscious.
And even Jean-Claude Van Damme was like, what are you doing? Get back into it. That's my Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I liked it.
Should I put on an SNL reel? Was it good?
Flawless. It is. For those people at home, they just were like, fuck, they got JCVD there? What? Are you fucking listening to this? Van Damme is there.
But he is literally, if you timed it, I would think his parading around the stage is like a good 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, like, turn around, like the ref. And these refs. Come on, these refs are not doing it.
Well, it's only one guy.
I mean, it's just one guy in a brown silk outfit. Yep.
Now, I will say, I'm stealing June's joke. I watched this with June, and she said, what are these refs watching for? It's no holds barred. Like, what are they going to stop the fight for?
He basically starts the fight.
They kill people. Oh, yeah. But then they're like kneeling into it. Like, a lot of the times that ref is like, huh? I'm like, what are they? Like, there's no way.
Yeah, they're waiting for them to say that word. There's a word that
the mate.
Yeah, mate. So I guess they're waiting for that whisper.
But yet, fucking Chung Lee pulls out powder from his crotch in an
crotch
aggressive
powder.
Way.
Yeah, and nobody seems to care.
That ref is like, not on my way. Like, I don't care.
This episode of How Did This Get Made brought to you by Chung Lee Crotch Powder. And Squarespace. Are you building a website? Why not build a Chung Lee Crotch Powder website for Squarespace? Bonobos. Bonobos, the pants with built-in crotch powder.
But pocket. In all honesty, CISO.com.
CISO, billion-dollar property, Chung Lee Crotch Powder.
Funny for you at home, the audience has now probably heard three commercials that have done.
I will say, I feel like Ray Jackson?
Ray Jackson.
Ray Jackson, he hits Chung Lee, Chung Lee goes down. Ray Jackson has previously, as I've said to Chung Lee, I'm going to kill you. So then he starts parading around the stage going, yeah, I killed him. And I was like, oh, he doesn't know what kill means. He thinks kill means I'm going to knock you down from which you can still get up. Because that's all that has happened. Chung Lee is not dead on the ground.
No.
Ray Jackson is, I killed him! I killed Jackson! Jackson! And Chung Lee's just like on his knees, like looking at his bloody nose, like,
oh. Oh, no, he tastes that blood. He's like, yeah. I like my own blood.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me hungrier.
It was pretty sad when Ray started the chant for his own name.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't catch on, and then literally had his head stomped in. It was like, oh.
The saddest moment in a Kumate's fight is like,
do you think the Harley Davidson bandana was a product placement?
No, I think he brought that personal piece of wardrobe, and hey, they were like, I don't know that works.
Like, hey, we need to get you into wardrobe. Fuck no, I'm going as that.
Yep, I'm already in wardrobe, brother.
I didn't train for this movie, and I'm wearing my own shit.
Also, I am drunk. Who am I really fighting?
I want to talk to the audience about what they think that we've missed here. But I do want to also bring up something that Nate, who is our researcher, Nate Kiley, brought up something. He is a third degree black belt.
And
he
says, Nate
not,
is?
Nate. And he says, not hard to do. You just, practice and do your art. But he goes, I'm going to nerd out here about martial arts for a second. And this is about the beginning of the movie when Jean-Claude Van Damme is given the katana blade, which never comes into play.
Nope.
Ever.
But there is a sword ceremony at the end of the movie where I think he gets another sword.
Great.
Dude's just drowning in swords he never uses.
Just not the person. It's like giving Jeb Bush a gun. Like, there's no reason to give it to him.
Wait, why? Why is it like that?
I don't know. Do you see that gun that Jeb Bush was like just playing with?
Just
his
a ceremonial gun.
Yeah, like, here's a gun.
I thought you meant so that he could do something with it.
Oh, no. Technically, when you give a Japanese sword to someone, the blade must be facing toward you and upwards. This is to show respect towards the person accepting the sword. When you receive a Japanese sword, it's customary to turn the blade towards yourself when the other person lets go. If someone ever handed a real samurai sword with the blade facing towards the receiver, like he does to Frank in the movie, it would be considered offensive and hostile, and you would be justified in drawing that sword and killing the person who offered it to you.
How rad would that have been?
The rules... The rules and customs for sword etiquette in Japan can vary slightly depending on the region and style, but this is steadfast across the board.
Oh, man.
That would have been the best opening scene.
Bloodsport.
Oh, God. Another commercial? But they were in the middle of something good. I hate you, Paul. No, you don't, because this makes the podcast free. Take a listen to some commercials from our friends. Take it away, Paul. Portlandia season finale airs this Thursday at 10 on IFC. I love Portlandia. It's the critically acclaimed Emmy-winning series with Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein. This Thursday, Portland's under attack by a monster made entirely out of ramen noodles. Join the Noodle Monster Fun by posting a ramen-related photo on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag Noodle Monster Contest, and you could win a 10-year supply of ramen noodles. That's right, 10 years of ramen noodles. If you just use the hashtag Noodle Monster Contest, for official rules, go to ifc.com/noodlemonster. The winner will be announced on air during the season finale. Oh man, this is so good. The season finale of Portlandia, the show critics call brilliant and absolutely hilarious, airs Thursdays at 10 on IFC and always on demand on the brand new IFC app. Thank you, Paul. That was our commercials. And now, back to the show. All right, well, let's go into the audience here. Let's see Well, if you guys have questions about Bloodsport, things that we might have missed, anything at all. Oh, let me get my stickers for you. All right, get those hands up. And, you know, let's see. This is going to be a tough one.
Imagine that was a rule for, like, forks. Someone, like, just handed you a fork incorrectly, and you're like,
So many fork stabbings in restaurants.
And it was completely legal.
Yeah, and it was just fine.
And it started all the way in the back. All right. Oh, Splits Guy. We got it. Splits Guy gets back up. We get to hear him. Splits Guy. All right. Cirque
Splits
comes
Guy.
Forward.
I just want to say, Splits Guy, you are already net positive. You can only lose us from here. Are you sure you want to ask this question?
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Ready. Well, we do this all the time.
You have the hubris of Ray Jackson.
This movie was retitled many a time. It finally landed on Bloodsport. So I'm going to ask you also, what is your title for this film? Think about it for a second. I'm going to also ask you your name. You shouldn't have to think about that. And then your question. So here we go. So your name, your title, your question. Here we go.
My name is Cody. The title is OK USA.
Great. By the way, he is wearing a Kumite Championship shirt.
Thank you very much. My question is, the black guy who doesn't say anything and just flexes a lot, he gets knocked out on the second day, so presumably he won some fights. Did he win just by, like, doing that thing to people and they just gave up?
Well, I think that was just him trying to get in people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of posing and, thank you, a lot of posing and posturing in this film.
You blew it, Cody. Cody, you blew it. You were the star of the show.
It was all there for the taking. Ma'am, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Camilla.
Welcome.
Is it Camilla Parker Bowles?
Be cool, Jason.
What?
Be cool.
CPB!
All right, here we go.
My title would be Bun Sport.
Ooh, great title.
Good title.
I just wonder if there's any significance to the fact that in flashbacks, young Van Damme has very tall hair, but in current timeline, his hair is combed flat to the side like a 7-year-old boy on picture day.
His hair is, that's a great question. I'm gonna give you a sticker designed by Leanna Waldron. It says top butt, and has a still from the great Wachowski brothers film that I forgot the title, Cloud Out, though, what was it? I forgot that movie. Jupiter Ascending. His hair is perfectly coiffed like a little boy. Again, not to bring up my son, but when I comb his hair and he has no control over what I'm doing, well, that's what it looks like.
There's also, frequently, people refer to him as, like, being too young. Like, aren't you a little young for to be in the Kumite? Or aren't
No, that would be the thing that you would do, right?
And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, he's a grown man.
Kumite is an old man sport.
So maybe they were trying to say with the hair, like, oh, he's still like...
He's still like a young boy. Like a,
yeah, or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's...
Well, that's a typical military cut, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, if he really was in the military, he would have to have a military cut. He
regulation military haircut.
Yes, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Kathleen, and Kumite, Kumite, Kumite.
I love it.
Don't try to curry favor with the audience, Colleen.
We tried. They were...
My question is, what career did you inherit from your father?
Yes. Great question. You'll also get a sticker. This was commemorating when we were on Jeopardy. The reporter says, I was a good writer. My dad was a reporter, so I became a reporter, right? So what career did you inherit? I don't know if there's a good answer for us, but... All right, that question bombed. I'm going to take back that sticker. I thought that was a funny scene when the reporter justifies being a reporter.
She was... I mean, I would love to read the story she's written. You know, I hope that it's honest. Who she had to sleep with to get into Kumite, how she was terrified but then elated. The emotional roller coaster that this woman must be on is staggering.
And they don't end up together.
The movie goes out on a symbolic bow between them.
Yep. Oh, God, that's so sad, just friends.
Yes.
She got friend zoned so hard.
She
got on a plane and fucking left her.
I would love
and like,
that
no
to be.
No goodbye kiss.
No.
No.
Nope.
I would love that to be the new way that you like end a one night stand. Fist in palm, bow, and then leave.
Get on a plane, fly away.
Get in your Prius and just fucking hit the gas. Yeah. Bye-bye.
You guys, tonight, some of you are on dates, you filthy weirdos. You're going to sleep with each other. Some of you are never... It's not going to happen again. Do a favor. Don't ghost the person. Just give them one of these. They'll know what it means. Let's make this a thing we do now.
And if you do
oh,
do
is
it,
that
report,
where we're at?
Report on it. Please report on it.
I just want to know, where's this going? Oh, fuck you. Oh, don't you ceremonially bow to me.
All right, sir. Your name, your title for Bloodsport, and your question.
My name is Trevor, and I think the title should be The Quest, because it's the same exact plot as The Quest.
Ooh, good, good, good call.
Of which?
What? Quest.
The Quest?
Yeah, The Quest, the Jean-Claude Van Damme film, The Quest.
Oh, where he I've not seen that one.
Oh, yeah, you should watch that one. It's a good one.
Maybe he made multiple movies just in case you didn't see the other one.
It's kind of...
Like he had no realization of, like, VHS or anything. Like, I just keep on making these and just get the word out about this. Like, like he's like a stand-up. Like, yeah, I'm just doing a couple sets tonight. If you come to the Comedy Store, you come to the Improv, you'll see the same set, but, you know, maybe you didn't see it.
JC, oh, come to my house Friday. JCVD's coming to do one of his movies.
All right, your question.
So when the kid Frank breaks into like the house to steal the sword, he's wearing a San Francisco Giants hat and a New York Giants shirt. So like he's just a fan of the Giants.
Good
in general. Eye. Where's the?
I will pull up a picture of that which we have. But yeah, he is just a fan of Giants. Yeah. A pick.
That is fantastic. I did not realize that.
Yeah. I did not notice that.
It is, here we go.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is awesome.
So he loves there was no costume
I love
designers.
Big.
Wear whatever you're wearing.
I love big things.
He must love that big guy. The guy who's like the Andre the Giant kind of fighter who just lumbers and swats.
Maybe that's why he likes Ray Jackson. If done in the correct Lord of the Rings kind of thing, he would look like a giant. He would look like kind of like the guy from Harry Potter, which I'm forgetting his name right now.
Hagrid,
yeah.
I said it first.
We said it together at
we
the
said
same
it together.
Time.
Guys,
same
let's
time.
All go to Universal Studios tonight. Wizarding World.
Hogwarts! Ooh, I want to be sorted.
Okay, here we go. Your name, your title, the film, and your question.
My name's Tim. The title is Kume Terrible Acting.
Ooh.
Ooh, sick burn!
Sing! Sing!
No, so the title card at the end says that he has won the World Heavyweight Kumite Championship. To be heavyweight, you have to be over 200 pounds. That black guy's not 200
We don't know that.
These are, you're talking about...
Do you know the Kumite?
Kumite,
you don't know how big Jean-Claude Van Damme is. You don't know him to scale. He's in the TV.
It also begs the question, are there different divisions of Kumite?
I think that is likely true. That was not represented. In the movie,
I don't
tiny
know if
people are fighting
that
giants.
That tiny little monkey man climbed that giant man.
Yep. Again, that was my favorite fight.
It seems...
It was wild.
Yes.
It seems to me...
He scampers all over that
scampers.
Guy. Like he's a goddamn playground.
Like, I almost thought, like, the Lion King music was gonna play. Like, no, Sabenya! He's like, ah!
He moves like Rafiki.
Like, he should live as a parasitic thing on the giant.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
You know
it's
what I
like
mean?
Master Blaster from Mad Max.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the way he gets defeated is he got hugged too hard.
Yep. Oh, so cute.
It's adorable.
Like, those two walk away from Kumite best friends.
He just needed a hug. Maybe he just needed a hug to straighten his body out. He's like, oh, my back is really sore.
Yeah, maybe that's
like,
why he was like so hunched over.
Well, that seemed to be the giant's only move, because he also hugs Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Maybe he's just like a guy that loves too much.
Like those people you bump into Comic-Con that like hold up a really like ratty sign that says like free hugs.
Or he's like
Wait, that's a real thing?
Yeah.
Really?
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
Or he's like Lenny from Mice and Men, and they're like, ah, you keep killing people. Get yep. a kumite!
Right? I would love Mice and Men 2, the kumite.
I would have loved it if they had just been like, Lenny!
Kumite! John Malkovich. All right. Sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Alan, and my title would be Kumataint.
Ooh, nice.
Hey.
And my question is, at the end, did you, like me, think that Ray Jackson was, had his head crushed in by Chong Li and was dead, only to find him drinking a beer in the hospital?
Yeah, they really, but again, they wimped out from everything in that moment. That should have been like the Rocky IV Apollo Creed moment.
Yep.
Like Apollo dies and he has to go, but no, it's like, it just looked like he got a little cut on his head. It didn't even look that
and
bad.
Killed, and Chong Li killed an ancillary guy that we had no allegiance yep. towards. He wasn't like a favorite of ours.
They were
but
like,
then,
sequel,
after he kills
sequel.
That man, everyone turns their back on him, but then nothing else happens.
Yeah. Yeah. They're basically like, essentially, Chong Li kills a guy in the ring. Everybody turns their back on him to basically be like, not cool, dude. And he's basically like, fuck you. I don't care. I'm Chong Li.
No, Chong Li does his silent yell. He doesn't know they're dead. He doesn't even know they're ringing the bell because he can't hear. He's like, oh, he's sleeping. Ma'am, your name, your title, and your question.
Anna, JCVD's Splits Extravaganza.
Ooh, nice.
And so this movie is very, very racist, just openly.
Hang on. Prove it.
Okay.
I would argue it's racism the same way that Don Rickles is racist, in the sense that it hits everybody is hit in this movie.
Fair enough. But when we first see the journalist, and she's like, you know, I know you're here for the kumite. There's no other reason you could be here. She's just talking to two Asian businessmen in a Hong Kong.
You're so right. Yeah, it's really racist, actually, yeah. There you go. This is amazing. All right, your name, your question. Oh, we got two friends next to each other. You guys know each other? Oh, cousins.
Your cousins?
All right, joint question. Who has a better call? All right.
But like, did you ever kiss?
No. Kissing cousin! All right, here you go. I'm going to let you both ask the question. She's going to ask it? You think she has a better
one? Wait, is it the same question?
We'll see who has a better question. We'll determine
oh, yeah.
who is the best cousin.
Prepare for judgment. Question kumite!
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 Kumite! Kumite! All right, here we go. Your question. I'm not even going to hear your name. I'm not even going to hear your title. I just want to hear straight question fight. Here we go.
Did anybody notice how all these guys, they all have their, like, big, like, broad, like, muscles that they're all, like, rah, to pump themselves up, but the main villain kind of snorted out his boogers the yeah. whole time? He has noticed that was kind of weird.
Okay.
All right, we hold on the answer to that question. And now, your question.
Well, I just wanted to gauge the commentators here on one of the characters that really confounded me. The character that was harassing the journalist, he appears to be an Asian man wearing an Arab headdress and appeared to have a Russian accent.
Oh, yeah.
What is he?
Yep. Who wins the kumite, guys?
Oh, boy.
Nose blower or another bad stereotype found? Confusing stereotype.
I'm going to go yes, all women.
Okay, I'm doing that too.
Yes, all women. Yeah.
Yes, all women. Yes, all women.
Yes, all women.
I found that I wrote that down too because he does do it before two different fights, like as if to be like. Wow.
Oh, that was so scary.
That was wild, right?
That was awesome.
Anyway,
the scariest thing was I was like, I'm probably not gonna move fast enough.
Nope. Jesus. Almost just fell over in my chair, everybody.
You know, two things here. First of all, you know how Jean-Claude Van Damme got this movie? This is his first movie. Menachem Golem, who made this movie, made many of the films we've talked about in this podcast. The Apple, the list goes on and on. Master of the Universe. Jean-Claude Van Damme saw him outside of a restaurant and went up to him, tried to did a split kick to his head, but missed him by an inch. And he was like, you're in the movies, kid. That was it.
Really?
That was
That's
it.
All you gotta do?
Yep.
Almost kill someone.
Yep.
And then you get in the
movies. I can't wait to see Scott Rudin in public.
And then the question that I had was, who was this guy who was like, it seemed like everyone was at the Kumite without like an agent, but yet like the two American guys had this like, hey guys, what's going on? Now, yeah, that guy, like, why was he, what?
And
why
was he the like agent? Part of their crew immediately. Yep. It was like, come on, you're my guys. Like, as if they were all best friends, which was not the case at all.
Yeah, not at
they
all.
They were acquaintances, but wait, at best.
Did Ray Johnson, that's his name, right? Did he go to Kumite before? Is that ever explained? Has he been to Kumite?
I feel like he has been to Kumite.
He's been to Kumite. He says, I don't know if he competed, but he knows he was there when Chung Li killed a guy last year.
Right, he saw
or
that.
2 years ago, or something. He saw that. I don't know if he fought, though.
Maybe that's his friend from the last time.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they're bros. Maybe
but then
bros.
How did like Jean-Claude Van Damme get hooked up with him like online? He's like, let's see. Need escort, like on Craigslist, like looking for escort to Kumite.
I feel like we didn't answer the cousin's question.
About the... About
I almost
the,
fell in my chair.
What
was it?
The snorting boogers.
Snorting boogers. Yeah, I thought that was like his move to be like, I don't even have to flex. I'm Chung Li. You know, all I need to do is get rid of extra boogers because that's how easy it's going to be to kick your ass.
Does anyone...
And maybe put a couple slippy slideys on the floor. Hey. Banana peel. Banana peel.
Does anyone have a question they feel like they need to ask? A need. All right, in the back. I'm going to go there. There's a one. Here we go. Let's see. If it's not great...
Oh, if it's Cody again, I'm going to be real pissed.
All right, sir. You raised your hand. Your hand went up first. I saw it. Your name, your title, your question. Here we go.
My name's John. My alternate title is Girls Just Want to Have Buns.
Nice.
And my question is, isn't the guy that Chung Li killed in the last Kumite Tanaka's son? I figured that was how he died.
Whoa!
Wait.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Does
that add up? It doesn't add up, though.
No, it does add up, because then that's why Jean-Claude Van Damme has to go to Kumite to avenge the death of that guy's son.
Holy shit, I don't think so.
That was...
And then it says he's going to grow up, and, you know, when he gets beat up...
I'm away from him with a microphone. But, yeah, that makes sense.
Does anybody know this? Is this a known... No.
Someone just said, that's bullshit.
I think... Here's what I think about that. I think that is such an interesting idea, but I don't think the timeline adds up.
No, because he was...
Because the kid is younger than JCVD, and
right.
JCVD needs to be fully trained before he can even get to Kumite.
But he
Wait,
was
the,
very
when did
young.
He die?
Oh,
when
but
did,
yeah, he had to go in the army then, too.
When did the son die? How old was he?
Years
don't
and years.
Know. Yeah, the kid was young.
I feel like years prior.
Yeah.
Maybe he went to kid Kumite.
You're full of shit, sir. Yeah, that's like the heavy, kid, lightweight Kumite.
Kid Mate. Ooh, let's do a remake of this movie with all kids.
You know,
shot for
I
shot.
I would love this. The movie had four sequels. Bloodsport 2,
Dang.
The next Kumite, Bloodsport 3, no addendum, Bloodsport 4, The Dark Kumite.
I hope that's all black people.
That would be... I would legit not be surprised with,
oh,
with
the way the it blatant, is.
With the casual racism of these movies.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme did not appear in any of the next Kumites, but there's a new Kumite coming.
Guys, we're not spoiling. This is... HDTV! How did this get made exclusive? They don't want you to know! They don't want you to know that there's a new Kumite!
And the title makes me so happy. Which, do you want to just, both of you, just take a crack at the title, all right?
So has anybody here said it tonight?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. So this will be Bloodsport 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I'm going to... It's a remake. I'll say that. It's a remake. It's not a sequel. It's a remake.
It's not... Is it a reboot?
Is there a star attached
to it? Is JCVD in
it? Is he in it?
No.
Okay. So it's not like...
I'm just
not
like
the love...
I'm going to give you guys this thing. I'm going to say, you are Hollywood executives. You have this property on your desk.
Is it Kumite re-colon ducks?
Okay.
Really good.
That's very good.
That felt great.
Oh no, I don't have anything nearly as good.
All right.
We'll call it Kumite. We still blood sporting.
Both of you wrong.
Okay.
Both okay, wait, great. Let's keep going. Let's keep guessing for like an hour.
It is called Lady Bloodsport.
Yeah! They missed a real opportunity called Cuntate.
What?
Yeah, Cuntate.
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 They really missed the boat on that.
Lady Cuntate. 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 Oh my gosh. The people
Lady
for the next
Bloodsport.
Show. Lady.
Lady Bloodsport.
Oh man, that is
for
perfect.
Sure like some sort of period situation. Lady Bloodsport.
Lady it, Bloodsport.
Colon, it's that time of the month. Listens to this podcast, now start calling your periods.
Lady Bloodsport.
I've got Lady Bloodsport
my
this
blood
week.
Bloodsport's coming.
Oh, honey, I want to, but I've got Lady Bloodsport right now.
Oh, God.
And then when you finish Lady Bloodsport, you put your hand in your palm, bow down. Bow to your tampon.
I hope Ronda Rousey's in it.
I mean, that's what it feels like to me. Like, they're like, Ronda Rousey, Lady Bloodsport.
Right?
That
done.
Feels yeah. like done.
Ronda Rousey, Michelle Rodriguez.
That
see.
Would be, I'm in.
I'm in.
To Lady Bloodsport,
Gina Carano.
I'm fucking in. So
Fuck.
Good.
Yes, Gina Carano is Ray Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She's like a wild card that can't be trusted. Ronda Rousey's JCVD.
Like, I kind of feel like Angelina
emotional.
Jolie could also pull off a cool ass shit cameo in this,
yeah.
too. Like, she was also.
Is she in
like,
it?
I don't
Who's
know.
Is this
it?
An exclusive?
What else
no,
you
we
have?
Don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
How did this get made exclusive?
All right, obviously, we had some opinions about this film. But now it is time to hear a different opinion. Obviously, you can go online. You can read about Frank Duke's opinion at slashfilm.com as he talks for 3 hours that Blake has edited down to a concise but yet enthralling piece. Also, if you feel like your voice has not been heard yet, you can call us up at 619-PAUL, P-A-U-L, ASK. ASK, and you can leave a message, and we'll be playing these on our mini episodes. So if you feel like you need to get a word out, you need to ask a question, we'll do that. That's 619 Paul Ask. But
you're so nice.
It's a lot
like,
of things to
don't
do.
Don't fucking call me.
They're not calling me.
Oh,
that's not. I'm not. That's not my phone number. No, my phone number is not Paul Ask. It would be awesome
but
if it was.
It is Paul Ass.
It is, yeah. Because I love Dan Bond, son. But now, obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but there are some people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions.
Give it up! Louise and Christina, give it up.
Give it up.
Short, simple, sweet.
How long did you practice?
Walking up, you guys came up with that?
All right.
How about we put a little more work into it, guys?
Like I said, these are 5-star reviews pulled from Amazon. We'll get going right here with Kenneth Luang. He writes here. As a young and impressionable boy, this movie got me interested in martial arts. I would stand in front of the TV watching this movie trying to imitate all the moves I saw. Needless to say, I was the best fighter in first grade and performed.
Wow. Needless to say.
Needless to say. Performed many punches to kids' groins and spinning kicks to their faces while also breaking necks, Chong Li style. Okay, I'm kidding. But it does raise the issue of TV violence and its influence on children. Doesn't it?
That's a real turn that
yeah,
one takes.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Oh, man.
That guy can't figure it out.
No.
This one is probably my favorite one to date. 5 stars by David Worth, and it goes something like this.
of course I'm gonna give Bloodsport a glowing review. I was a cinematographer.
David.
It was Jean-Claude Van Damme's breakout film and I was thrilled to be a creative part of it. I also, it worked out so well that 2 years later in 1988, I was once again back in Hong Kong with JCVD as the director of Kickboxer. The budgets of both of these films combined were less than $5 million. They still do a ton of business worldwide, became martial arts classics, and launched the career of JCVD. Not bad for the price. Five stars.
Like, that's... We really think about that. He's on Amazon writing reviews for movies he's worked on. Oh, Dave Wirth. Come on, man.
This is five stars. Although the martial arts scenes are spectacular, this movie is really about what a man learned from his martial arts training. It's a true story of a man who at a critical juncture in time, when most people would give up in despair, looked within and found the necessary strength of spirit to face a deadly adversary. It's a story about the power of integrity and character, and well worth watching many times.
That was better written than the screenplay. That was so lovely.
And
I love that that person got so much out of the movie.
Yeah.
Pulled so much depth out of the movie.
When life gives you lemons, you know, kick those
Go
lemons.
Go to Amazon.
Okay. This may be my favorite one, too. I have two favorites in this one. It is simply titled The Jean-Claude Van Damme Review Matrix. Who is he? Frank Dux, the American martial arts expert. Which family member or friend must be avenged? His friend Ray. Does he take his shirt off? He has his shirt off nearly the entire movie. Does he have sex with a C-list actress? Yes. It's cute but anonymous blonde. Is there a tournament? Only the baddest tournament in the world. Is training needed for the tournament? No, he's already awesome. Does he do splits in the training or in the tournament? Several times. Does he punch someone in the balls? Let's say he just puts an unfortunate sumo wrestler's balls about a foot higher than normal. Does he do a series of flying or 360 kicks? Yes, and no one dodges them. Is his enemy unbeatable? Chung Li holds all the records and has killed people in the tournament and makes other black belts wet themselves. So yeah. Does he overcome an injury or hindrance? Yes, Chung Li throws salt in his eyes and Dukes is blinded. Does he win? Not only does he win, but he forces Chung Li to say mate. This one has it all, folks. It's JCVD's best movie. So I love that this is how you have to review every one of his movies with these 12 questions.
That's amazing.
They are amazing. That
I
is
love
the
that.
Best way to review a JCVD movie. Holy shit. Well, for those at home, a simple Google search will show you Frank Dukes. And for you here at the audience, you can see him up close right
Pretty
here.
Great.
That is Frank.
He looks awesome.
He does look awesome.
He's amazing.
I bet he's got great buns.
One thing about him is that he changed his name from Frank D-U-C-K-S, Ducks, to Dukes because he had too many people making fun of his name.
Oh, no.
Not cool. Poor guy.
Yeah. Poor guy. All right, well, I feel like we talked about everything.
He does the coin trick in the bar.
Oh, the coin trick.
Oh, the coin trick was good. Because not only did he take the coin, he replaced the coin with another coin.
Yeah.
That's a straight up magic trick.
Yeah. Magic castle.
I do want to show this one piece. You can't really get the full idea of it, but this is pretty amazing. April found this. This is... Jean-Claude Van Damme doing an interview in a gym, and for those at home, just know that they're both doing sit-ups while the questions are happening. So I'm just fast forward this first part, and here we go.
And the interviewer does not look. The interviewer does not look happy to be doing this.
So here we go.
So Jean-Claude, how did you get in with Canon Films?
In Bloodsport?
Yeah.
It's a funny story.
I always want to meet Menachem Golan because, you know, he's number one action film in the States right now, especially on karate, ninja film and everything.
They're doing the
setup. So I call Canon and I say, I've got an important meeting with Menachem. He know me, I'm leaving tomorrow for France. And I didn't tell the truth, by the way, but Menachem is a very courteous person. So I said, where's that guy? He know me? I don't know him. I want to see that guy. So when I met him the first time, I did my split.
It's just doing
right now. Splits. Taking he said, you got it.
Man.
I highly recommend that you find the workout.
I've never seen a man happier bouncing up and down in a split.
His butt was psyched. You can find it on VanDamsFans.com. Fans with a Z. Damn VanDam fans.
Do you have, I will say this. Oh, you can you click on Kumite song, please?
Yes, sure.
Because this song. I will for real work out to this song.
It's amazing.
This song is awesome.
It does not fit the movie at all.
It doesn't.
And aggressively against the movie.
Yep, and I watched it with the, because I watch everything now with subtitles on, I guess. And the lyrics are cuckoo bananas. Like, T2B, like nuts. They're great. Please dig in on those.
Kumite. Well, this has been a great deconstruction of Bloodsport. What do you have to plug? What do you have to plug? Nicole, what do you want to plug?
What is today?
Today, well, they'll be hearing it in the next week, so it'll be
okay.
Like, yeah.
For the audience tonight, if you go home at 11 p.m., there's a show called Party Over Here that Paul produced. I'm on it. Watch it. It's on Fox.
They can watch it, if you're listening now, every Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday at 11. Also on Fox. Fox has an app.
Oh, yeah.
Watch
Fox
it
app.
On that.
Check out that shit. Get that app.
Yeah,
it's on YouTube, too.
It's fun.
Jason?
I don't have anything to plug, but I would like to take this moment to address a controversy.
Oh, this is very
that
good.
Exists currently. This is one of those moments where I'm like, so happy I'm not on Twitter. During the Covenant episode, I mistakenly identified the town of Ipswich as being on the South Shore. Now, no doy, Ipswich is a North Shore town. I know this to be true. I played soccer in Ipswich against Ipswich. I broke my leg on an Ipswich soccer field, but I totally had a brain fart, guys, and I fucked it up. So my apologies to all the fucking assholes who are like losing their minds
the
that I
Shore
misidentified
assholes?
It. What?
The South Shore
no.
assholes?
To the people who are like, fuck you, you don't know where Ipswich is, you're
By the
a
way,
piece of shit.
You don't have Twitter, I do.
Yep.
So because of that, I got all of that Ipswich anger with maps
yep.
and fucking pointers. Like, you tell Jason!
No, it's they are all 100% right. My sincerest apologies to the North Shore awesome people of Ipswich. Fuck you, South Shore, still. But that's all me. All me. I fucked up, guys. I really fucked up.
Well, and thank you for
I'm genuinely
up and saying
so sorry.
That.
Please forgive me. I was on my Lady Bloodsport.
This show
That's how you use it in a sentence.
This show could not be done without some amazing help. Obviously, July up in the booth. Everybody here at Largo. Avril Halley, who put together all of our clips. Go to Movie Bitches on YouTube to watch a very special JCVD expose of his buns. Nate Kiley, who gave us all that amazing sword research. Marissa Zeitz, Leanna Waldron designing all those great stickers. Everybody at Earwolf and you for coming out to this live show. Thank you all for coming. Good night.
Kumite, 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 Kumite.
Oh no! The Noodle Monster attacks Portlandia on the season finale this Thursday at 10 on IFC. Plus, you can watch it on demand and on the brand new IFC app. And don't forget to post your own ramen-related photo on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag NoodleMonsterContest, and you could win a 10-year supply of ramen noodles. For official rules, go to ifc.com/NoodleMonster. The winner will be announced on air during the season finale.
Thank you again to CISO for sponsoring today's show. Only CISO lets comedy aficionados stream hand-picked, ad-free, on-demand comedy from the comfort of their favorite device and location. I love CISO. It is great for $3.99. If you're a comedy fan, you should have it. It's the only streaming service that has everything that you want and none of that other bullshit, that Shonda Rhimes shit. I love Shonda Rhimes, but here, you don't get it. You get cool, fun stuff. Anyway, check out the coming up Dan Harmon's Harmon Quest. I don't think that's how you say it, but Dan Harmon has a brand new show called Harmon Quest, and it's only for $3.99 a month. The best comedy in one place. Don't believe it? See so for yourself now. I like that. For free, no credit card required. Try it out.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.